That is music from the 1991 film titled Backdraft. And our guest has viewed it more than once. And we're not going to talk about the movie, but we are going to talk about firefighting. There are several two-year schools in the Wisconsin Technical College system that provide firefighter training and certification. And Lion Ward is director of the that fire service education program. And so it's great to have him in the studio. We thought it'd be perfect follow-up to our novel, our novelist. And so we're talking training. Do you wonder how firefighters maintain their readiness maybe to handle a burning building in their community? You can join the conversation. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Lion Ward, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on, Larry. Appreciate it.
Well, you're director of training, and you've had plenty of experience yourself, if I'm not mistaken, in firefighting.
Yeah, I started young. As I graduated high school, I was looking to serve the public, and I had a friend that her dad was a fire chief in Muskegon. It was a volunteer fire company at that point, so I joined the fire department. Started some classes at Waukesha County Technical College. And then that was kind of short-lived just because 9/11 happened and I got the call in to join the military as a firefighter. So I was able to continue on with that and then join the Army. And I got deployed to Iraq shortly after that. So good group of guys I deployed with. It's Brotherhood. So it was very, you know, a great experience. And then I came home, continued on with volunteer, and eventually got hired full-time and always been on the Department of Defense side full-time. And then I recently just retired from the 128th Air National Guard with 21 years in.
You mentioned the Air Guard, and actually Vern in Boyd, Wisconsin has something that relates in a way to that. Vern, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so I was stationed in the Air Force. I was at Gila Bend Air Force Observatory Field, also known as Luke Air Force Day Bombing Range. So when we had planes crash, they still had live ammunition, live bombs, and all we had was a shovel, and we had to put out these fires and pick up.
Yeah. Put out the fires and pick up the people.
Yeah, thanks for your service, Vern.
Yeah, thanks for your service, Vern. And without a lot of protective equipment either, I guess he was saying. Well, that kind of takes me to the training part of it. How many, you know, there's a lot of training going on in the state. We've got, I think, 16, are there not, public?
Yep, 16 technical colleges throughout the state that represent their districts and counties fire and EMS.
And they offer certification. What kinds of certification and what kinds of things do they offer?
So state statute says we have to provide a 60-hour entry-level course for firefighters to go in to a fire. Now, that's not a certification, but after that, we offer, if the firefighter wants to continue on, we offer everything from Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, your driver-operator certifications, instructor, investigator, inspector. So there's different pathways a student can go on as they progress through the fire department.
That's interesting. So 60 hours, is this done in over a long period of time or the training?
That can depend, and that's the beauty of the tech college system is that they really meet the needs of the departments in their districts. So if it's purely just on the weekends because they're filling a volunteer side, which is very important because most of our state is volunteer fire departments, and Wisconsin State firefighters do a great job of representing the volunteer service for the state. And then it can go on to where there's an expedited summer class for high school students that are getting the certifications before they turn 18 to when they can go actually go into a fire on the job.
So as you were saying, I mean, it's 80% of the firefighters in Wisconsin are volunteer.
Yeah, strictly volunteer. And that kind of matches, that mirrors the national volunteer too. There was a recent release that I saw in June of 25 from one of our state representatives that said 92% is actually volunteer and then combined, because we have paid on call and combination departments. So a very small percentage of the state is actually career fire departments. So we have to do the best job at our tech colleges to represent all the firefighters in the state.
Well, I am thinking about this, given the risks and the relatively low pay, you think about it, is firefighting a viable career to pursue?
Yeah, I mean, as students get young, they find out if they want to be public service and they want to help people. So those are the people that fire service has always relied on. So they don't really do it for the money, especially the volunteers. Some of them don't get paid at all. So they're taking time away from their families and their life to provide that care for their communities, which is that's what's great about Wisconsin. So then if they want to keep on with their regular career and go on, keep on volunteer, they can, which is great. But then there's also pathways for career departments that have requirements. And if the volunteer wants to start working on certification or whatever requirements are at the career department, they can come to the tech college and take those classes and get those certifications so they can get hired.
Yeah, I think the most famous book about volunteers was Population 485, written by Michael Perry, which was a New York Times bestseller, and talking about his job here in Wisconsin, or his volunteer job as a volunteer
right.
for the local fire department. Let's talk about some of the various qualifications or the various training programs that an individual could go through to get certified. You got EMT, firefighter.
Yeah, we have many certifications and credentials that they may get depending on the authority having jurisdiction. Typically, the fire chief, they're going to dictate what requirements they have of their department. And our certifications are based off of national standards. And the curriculum is built, and the colleges can adapt it somewhat to their district needs. But we build the curriculum, and then we have the testing that follows the national standards. So then when the fire department gets that student, they know for a fact that they have that. We have an IFSEC accreditation. That's our accredited body. It's a Wisconsin cert. If they have that, they know that they've been through that testing process. So it's really, IFSAC is an accredited body that's used in all around the world to create consistency off of national standards.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, go through, if you can, sort of what a typical class would be.
Of course. And like I said before, a lot of it's dependent if you're taking night school or day. But those students will go through, they'll start off typically with Hazmat Ops and Firefighter 1. Those are the first two you'll get. Unless you're going entry level, which on the volunteer side, if that's a minimum requirement, then they'll go through 60 hours of Firefighter 1 training. So they'll go through anything, personal protective equipment, how to keep yourself safe, very important mm-hmm. when you go into a building to provide safety for others. And then, you know, pulling hose lines, various tools and equipment, how to operate it. There's a requisite knowledge and a requisite skill that NFPA requires for us testing. So not only does the student have to show proficiency in the skills, they have to show a proficiency in the knowledge of those requirements.
I was thinking about, actually last night, because I had this show coming up, the TV show Chicago Fire was on, and I watched the show, and I've seen it other times as well. One of the things I note in that show is that one of the leadership positions is a woman, and there are many women that are involved in.
Yep.
And I wondered as I was watching, I wondered if there are if we have many women who are in the volunteer or the professional services in firefighting.
Yeah, for sure. We do have data on that where the females are getting into the fire service, not just EMS side, not just nursing, but they're representing fire service and they're doing a great job of it. And that helps fill the gaps, especially for non-traditional employees, because fire service is hurting for people. They need more people. So that helps fill those gaps. And like I said, they do a great job of it, and they provide a different viewpoint, different vantage point on the firefighting side.
Yeah, are there, what are the requirements? I mean, are there requirements in terms of, you know, you have to do 100 push-ups or you have to carry a certain load or weight or anything like that? I mean, that'd be for any man or woman would want to know that.
Yeah, all our skills are pretty much the same for everybody across the board. There's no physical fitness test per se, but if we do have where you have to carry a 35-foot ladder and raise it as a team, everybody on that team is expected to share their parts. So, and that's what firefighting is always. It's a family. So, you get to help people, and it's a brother and sisterhood that a lot of people might not get that in a 9-to-5 type job.
For these certification programs, the cost on those, what does it cost to go through the various programs?
So the state of Wisconsin's pretty unique, and it's, they have provide 2% dues to certain classes, like the entry level and firefighter one, and the driver operators. Basically, the certifications to get firefighters trained in the state on the volunteer and career side, those are provided at no cost to the fire department or student. They'll have to buy a book, but the tuition and material is free for those. So that's a great thing that Wisconsin provides, and I think a lot of other states like our system. With the 16 tech colleges and the training representing that and how it works. Actually, National Fire Academy praised us for how our state is run with the training and how we incorporate and keep it consistent throughout the state. We are one of the states, the only states in the country that offer that NFRS and NARIS training reporting in our curriculum. And Sarah Brown at the SPS does a great job of managing that. So there's a lot of unique stuff to Wisconsin, even though we are nationally accredited to keep it consistent. But yeah, it's the 16 colleges, they offer free training, and they also have there's certain certifications that you can advance in your career that might cost the student money. There's associate level classes that you can get your associates in fire science. A lot of the colleges offer that, and we're currently working with University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. Matthew Ritchie runs the program there and creating a pathway from students from high school through a 2-year technical up to that bachelor's degree and hopefully master's degree around fire science. So students want to see a pathway, and we're just trying to do a better job of providing that volunteer and professional.
That's a great idea, great program. Starting interested kids at in high school, and then just taking them right through the whole thing. There's a, you mentioned fire protection technician.
Yeah, that's one of the programs at the colleges.
What is that about?
So we'll incorporate a core class where every college that has that program, they'll teach the same courses, but then they'll have gen eds that they teach a part of it. There's a minimum of 15, and then they'll have other technical studies. Some colleges, they have students take apart a bike and put it back together. Other colleges have them take apart small engines because, you know, they're kind of seeing the trend today is a lot of stuff's throwaway, so they might not learn how to take apart of engine and put it back. And in the fire service, you know, they have to do that stuff sometimes on the scene for it to get to work. So colleges do a great job of representing their districts and what the needs are. Based off of the feedback from the fire departments and really setting the students up for success for the future.
And the programs themselves, sounds like it could take a long period of time, but in bursts.
Yeah, it's a 2-year program, but some students, they might get certifications through that program and then get hired, and then it might take them a while to come back and finish it. But I think providing them with a pathway, especially if they want to get promoted, that's going to keep them in the program in the future. And then also making sure we're keeping up with these classes to the current trends.
I got talking with you and I forgot to mention the phone number again. You can join in. I got interested in what you had to say there. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you could email to talk@wpr.org. Maybe you're a volunteer firefighter. Maybe you're a professional. What has your experience been like? We really would love to hear from you. The National Fire Academy, I think you mentioned that, they offer 9 2-day courses, something like that? What are they teaching?
So they teach curriculum that's based off of the standards too. Typically, those the most popular ones in our state are incident safety officer, and some fire departments need that for promotion. But it's a great overall class to have firefighters, even at the basic level, think of those safety aspects, which are very important on a fire scene. And then we have strategies, tactics for company officer. We actually just had Wisconsin Weekend. We called it NFA Wisconsin Weekend up at Volk Field. And we teamed up with REACT up there. They ran the registration, did a great job. DSPS, the Wisconsin State Firefighters, the Wisconsin State Instructors, and the Wisconsin State Fire Chiefs all chipped in and kept the cost down for the students. So we had about 60 students up there for the weekend. And it hasn't happened since 2019 because COVID and everything.
So yeah.
We brought it back, and it's a great, not only the classes, but for students from around the state, volunteer career, to get in the same room and just coordinate and talk and have those relationships really to reach out for the rest of their career. And that's what the fire service is about, having that cup of coffee, having that coffee cake at the dinner table, having those conversations. A lot of relationships and a lot of trust is built at those, at the... They call it tailboard of the apparatus or at the dinner table.
Joel in Green Bay has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Joel.
Hey, Joel.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Well, my sister and brother-in-law are in firefighting up in the Minneapolis area, volunteer firefighting. And they have out in the countries where they burn houses down and, you know, use that for training. The last one I got to go to, watch them burn an entire house down. They had seven different departments. They're all doing training, going in and out while the house is burning down. Do you do something like that? And if so, how do you contact you if you have that kind of option?
That's a great question. Some of our colleges do coordinate that for departments. They're called acquired structures. And they can be a little bit dangerous just because they're not more as controlled as a fire training facility, but they follow, there's an NFPA that they have to follow. There's a lot of DNR rules that have to come down when they actually burn a structure down. But a lot of that is sometimes on the departments. If there's a training officer association, they'll get, if someone buys a property and the building's condemned, they'll donate it to the fire department to burn it down for training. So it's a great opportunity.
Well, that, yeah. And there's nothing like that kind of experience. I mean, for training purposes.
Right.
I mean, is that pretty much going to happen at some point in every community for volunteer firemen, for example?
Yeah, especially on the volunteer side. They get those. Sometimes that's the only time they can get into see a live burn, you know, and that's how they train. But our training facilities at the colleges are... they either have Class A or Class B, like where they're either gas burns or they do have regular materials in them, and there's a reason why it's controlled. But like you said, that those acquired structures are a great opportunity for fire service to actually see what it's going to be like in the field.
Yeah,
in those houses.
You mentioned as part of the program's fire medic. I think I heard you say what is a fire medic?
So it's similar to the fire protection technician in other programs we have, but. It's more directed to career departments that require paramedic to get hired on. And that program's ran through Letitia. She's a director for that in our office, and she does a great job. EMS and fire are very closely related, obviously. So a paramedic will have more skills in the field as compared to an EMT that's in our fire protection technician program.
So dealing with burned victims or people who are burned or otherwise injured.
Yeah, they'll have more advanced set of skills for administering drugs and being able to administer that type of care for the patient compared to an EMT or an EMR.
What's the, you know, if somebody thinking about this in terms of volunteer work, for example, being a volunteer firefighter, I'm trying to put this, well, I should just come out and say, now, how many people are injured? I mean, I'm guessing that with the number of amount of training that people are getting, men and women are getting, that probably better than it was 50 years ago or 40 years ago, and hopefully that's made an impact on the safety.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our safety protocols, like especially with OSHA or DSPS, our state-ran OSHA, a lot of that stuff exists because it did happen, right? But we are more safety conscious of that. Our PPE is better. I was just having a conversation with someone before about sometimes our PPE is really good. We could be in an environment that's pretty bad. We don't know because we're being protected. We're back in the day, if they didn't have hoods on, their ears started to burn. They're like, oh, I'm going to back out. But our PPE protects us so good. We have to think of making sure that we're being very safety with the environment we're going in. We're cooling it off as we go and that type of stuff. So it has changed. Fire service grows, adapts as our employees have to. So we always have to grow. We always have to adapt with the science behind it. And Underwriters Laboratory and FSRI, they do a good job of testing out that science on fires and what does what.
What's the clothing that you wear, or the coats and so? That's got to be a lot better than it was.
Yeah, I mean, I've been only in the fire service for 25 years, so it's pretty much when I was in the military, they called them baked potato suits. They were like tinfoil for the aircraft fuel. But we'll have structural pants, structural coat, SCBA. Our mask, our helmet, our gloves, and then tools. It's very physically demanding, so that's why it's a big part of the job, is making sure once you get that gear on, you can now go to work. And then you can recognize your fatigue, so you keep everybody else around you safe. So it has changed throughout the years, for sure. Last 20 years for me, not as much, but I'm sure 50 years ago, for sure.
It would have been a lot different.
Right.
So for the, you know, we're always, there's always shortages. You know, we need more firefighters. For somebody who might be thinking, well, you know what, I could just as well volunteer for my local fire department. Why would you tell them to do that?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. And we recommend it, not only just for a firefighter, but if you're good at paperwork, if you're good at running programs, you can volunteer and help that fire department out with taking off that from their plate. So whether you're a retired accountant or you're retired, you ran programs before, go to your local department and just see what kind of help they need. Not everybody has to run into a burning building. So I think the more help they'll have on that back end, the better the other firefighters can concentrate on the training and staying safe. But I know we're almost short of time, but I just want to throw a plug in. We have two people in our office, Denise Perkins and Sherry Jacobson. They have a combination of around 60 years with our office. So this state is very lucky to have them, and they've been through the gamut on fire service throughout those years. So I fell into this job a year and a half ago with them as my mentors, and I feel very lucky to work with them in our office, and the state's very lucky to have them. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because they've been amazing.
And your website, what's the website?
It's my WTCS. So if you Google like Wisconsin Tech College System, my WTCS, you can find, there's on our site, you can find the different tech colleges. So reach out to your tech college in your district, in your county, if you're interested in being a firefighter, and then definitely stop by the local fire department. If it's just to have a chat, start that relationship. They might need your help. Your community might need your help, and they would appreciate it.
Real pleasure, Lyon. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today and talking about this. Maybe we can do this again down the road.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, Lyon Ward, Director of Fire Service Education and Training in the Wisconsin Technical College System. And probably a darn good thing to do is stop by the local fire or talk to one of your neighbors who is a fire volunteer firefighter, and you might get roped in, and you might find a lot of satisfaction from doing it.
Yeah, very purposeful.
Very purposeful. Well, I've got an old pal to come and visit with me. Well, she's not old, but she's been a pal for a long time. Jane Rotunda, who is the head person for the Wisconsin Book Festival Fall Celebration. We'll talk with Jane next. I'm Larry Mueller.